B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't do anything. She was tagging the five sector.
I want to be your friend.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Sometimes you got to go back to go forward.
Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hot diggity dog.
Yeah.
So, it's all good, baby.
I could say supercharge here with Flash Gordon kind of thing.
So, Saugus Wings. So, let's go on a little spy mission, shall we? Sarge. It's all good, baby. Sarge at Sarge 95. Sarge. Sup, so. Sarge. Hey, Zo. Ready to seal the seven seas?
Sarge, sup, Zo. Sarge, sup, Zo. Sarge, sup, Zo. Sup, Zo.
It's all good, baby.
I could listen to those all day. I absolutely love the Sarge songs. I might be the one.
Sup, Zo? Sarge here. Want to beam up? It's all good, baby. Sarge. Sup, Zo. Sarge. I'm watching you, Zo.
Oh, Sarge. By the way, good morning, everybody. We're Toucher and Rich. Watch us on Twitch. Subscribe to 95 Sports. I'm on Twitch and all that. You know, it was almost cruel what Sarge did on Twitter. Someone liked it or retweeted it. I got to start following Sarge on the account I use. But it really hit home just how much COVID has affected us, because Sarge put up just a mere 2 years ago yesterday. Sarge was out mask-free, living the life, and he said, big thanks to Andy Wong. Can you believe it's been 2 years? Brutus the Barber Beefcake was inducted into the WWF Hall of Fame just 2 years ago, and Sarge was there, and he was backstage with Brutus Barber Beefcake, who was all in a tux with his clippers. And there was Sarge and Andy Wong with him backstage, living the life of literally Riley. Yeah.
So he went to the Hall of Fame ceremony for Brutus the Barber Beefcake? That is big stuff.
Yeah, I had to turn it down. Things to do.
Or did just Brutus the Barber Beefcake go straight from the Hall of Fame ceremony and go to Kowloon with his suit on?
I don't know, or if he had to go take coins at the toll booth or something, but I know he was working for Mass Transit at one point.
Dead or alive, Brutus the Barber Beefcake?
He is very much alive.
Right now, is he? Wow.
Yes.
I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah. Well, he was on the show not so long ago.
Brutus the Barber Beefcake was on our show?
Yeah. Remember we would do the hot rod and bit that was get a famous person to call into us when we were doing afternoons? I know it was a while ago, but Bruce the Barber Beefcake called in more than once.
Okay.
Yeah.
63 years old. Yeah, he is living in, take a guess, Tampa, Florida.
It was something else. He got inducted. It was a beautiful speech he gave. A shout out to Mr. Fuji and the whole gang. Bobby the Brain Heenan was doing a very elaborate math problems. Sarge.
Where is the WWE Hall of Fame? Like,
that's
got
to be
Tampa.
That has to be. It has to be in Tampa, Orlando. You know, Destin, take your pick. Somewhere.
I have an unofficial one in my basement.
Well, I mean, we've seen that. There's no question. We have done a Cribs edition with Sarge where we've gone down there and seen all of the
stuff. Has nothing. He just shows it off. I don't need anyone break it in. Stu Man has got his own.
They just put anybody in the Wrestling Hall of Fame now. Ozzy Osbourne just got inducted. I don't ever remember him being. Maybe just inspiring all the super cool royalty-free rock and roll music that they walk into the ring to.
Well, maybe he represents them all after they retire from wrestling, the way he walks and talks.
Right. It's kind of the look. Did you wrestle? That's right.
If all the Bruce the Barber Beefcake and Ozzy Osbourne's speeches were exactly the same. Yeah, where am I? Okay, what is it? And then Bruce the Barber Beefcake goes, yeah, you're all going to be yesterday like me. I fell down a rabbit hole yesterday down watching Steel Panther, and when they do Crazy Train, it is really something else. The singer goes full Ozzy. Okay. He pours water on himself and he walks around like slowly clapping in front of himself.
Steel Panther is one of the hardest I've ever laughed at any kind of performer, whether a comedian or at a concert or whatever. That they are must see when they're coming down.
They're we've had them on the show. They're like, they do arenas and stuff. They have a parody. They're like a parody metal band. And they bring this 11-year-old kid, it's a famous video, it's got millions of hits, up on stage. He has a sign and he says, I know it's in Kansas City because Johnny Dare just keeps putting his face on it, but on the thing that's filming it. But this kid has a sign and he goes, I can play better than the guitar player for Steel Panther. And they get him on stage and they're like quick. Because the singer's like, are you nervous? And the kid's like, no. And then the guitar player goes... from Steel Panther goes, it's hard to be nervous when you're high as an effing kite. The kid's 11. And then the kid plays Eruption, and then they're like, oh, wow. I know it's not set up. And then the kid plays Eruption, and then he goes into You Really Got Me, and then the band just starts playing You Really Got Me. And then the guitar player comes out, and he's like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's a legitimate comedy show. Like, I mean, it's a comedy show if you go to see it. It's not...
And when they're interviewed, they're, like, very funny. Like, quick funny. Like they could all be comedians. And it's weird because none of them are. They're all dudes that were in metal bands. I think the guitar player played... with like a lot of famous metal people, and I can't say any of this on the air, but he has special effects pedals that he uses that are named like really sexual things, and you can buy them. And then he shows you how they work, and they don't do anything. You're like, oh, okay.
Well, the lead singer was the guy from Atomic Punk, that Van Halen cover band, and he just sounded exactly like David Lee Roth. And when they do Van Halen, he just kills it. Yeah. But of course, he adds his own lyrics to it most of the time too. But no, they are phenomenal. When they came, Dan just reminded me of this. When they came on our show one time, they slept out in their tour bus out in our parking lot. Do you guys remember that?
Yes,
they came
I
in
do.
The Steel Panther tour bus, just sitting there. They just hung out front and came on in and had a good time. Yeah, those guys are excellent.
Yeah. I still cringe because I've told this story before, but when I used to go to the Grammys, my friend's best friend growing up was the manager of the Viper Room, the infamous Los Angeles club. So we got like VIP treatment there, and I could tell you a million stories about people I hung out with before they were famous, but we were with Joey McIntyre, of all people, all weekend. We hung out with Joey McIntyre, and it was very funny, and everyone was getting a kick out of it, and Joey McIntyre didn't quite get what was going on, that it was all very ironic, because he still was acting like a star. And they were Metal Shop at the time, and they sat down with us. And, Rich, you and I were in that band that was going to play at Music Midtown.
Yep, yeah.
Where we were just going to play Detroit Rock City the whole time, but we had this elaborate science fiction thing. It would have been really funny. And I really do think it would have been funny. And I told the guys, I'm like, hey, you know, I'm in one of these too. And they're like, oh, great. Yeah. And I just still like cringe that I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they've just mastered it. It's like,
they had just started. But that was back when they were playing the Viper Room and like Paul Stanley would get up with them or like dudes from Guns N' Roses would get up with them. This was well before they played arenas and they were called Steel Panther.
Well, they kind of came the thing for a while there. I mean, they were all over, like at TMZ would be like, who showed up at the Metal Shop show?
Yeah, they did a night at the Viper Room.
Yeah.
And it was great. And when I saw him at the Viper Room, someone took the wig off the guitar player. Some girl ran up and took his wig off and he's like, oh, you cracked the code. Yeah, it's a wig. I actually don't have pink long hair. Like, wow, congratulations. Everything's out the window now.
They've kind of got the life. Now, they still tour a bunch, but they do residencies in Vegas.
Yeah.
That are almost like some of these big bands that go there. And they'll play, you know, the House of Blues there basically for like five nights in a row. And then they'll go back to L.A., and then they'll go back like 2 weeks later and do five nights in a row and just bank it.
Well, they're touring on a bus. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, if you have a massive tour bus and you're touring, I mean, you're doing okay.
Well, they sold out the House of Blues last time they were here, and they may have even been bigger since then. They may have even gotten bigger since the last time they came.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they're doing very well for themselves.
Yeah, they had a big feud with Motley Crue. They toured with Def Leppard and Motley Crue and did... And Tommy Lee and Nikki Six, not good guys. They hated Tommy Lee and Nikki Six, and they were not afraid to say it in interviews. And I have news for you. They're way smarter and way funnier than Tommy Lee and Nikki Six.
What were they saying about that? Because I've not heard that.
They did an interview, and the guy's like, if you could bring anyone back to life to play with, who would it be? And the singer said, Vince Neil. And then the drummer was funny too, and he's like, dude, you could have brought back Bonham. And he's like Neil's not even dead. And he goes, well, no, Vince Neil from like 20 years ago when he wasn't awful. And then Nikki Six said something like, you guys are a joke, like, you know, way to stab us in the back, like, and then they're like, to stab someone in the back you have to have been at least cordial at one point, and that's not the case. And then Nikki Six says something else, and so they tweeted out a video of them when they had John Corabi. This is so inside. When they had John Corabi as their singer, and Vince Neil broke a bunch of ribs in a jet skiing accident, and they were talking about how 300 pounds of blubber hitting a coral reef. And,
oh,
and Mick Mars was like, did they have to call the Environmental Protection Agency?
Oh, my God.
Because of us. There you go. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's a very, very in-depth look into the world of hair metal past its date in time. But but if you do get to see Metal Shop, or I'm sorry, Steel Panther, that is entertainment. That is
no question.
I would pay good money to see them. All right, Rich. Well, let's not. All three local active teams were involved in playing last night.
Two wildly entertaining games and one not so much. So let's start with the winners first, shall we?
Oh, it's a positive Wednesday, everybody. Mm-hmm. A hump day. All right. So we'll have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman-like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
Last night. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. There was sports as far as the eye could see last night.
A lot of games yesterday. First, let's talk about the winners, shall we?
Bruins with a steal. Now Lozon will skate it out. 2-on-1. Short-handed with Marchand. Over the line left side to Marchand. Fake shoots. He scores! Brad Marchand. A stutter step. Cut to the middle. And then fired it through hard. A short-handed goal. 3-2 Bruins.
Yes. I have two things to say. Mm-hmm. One is Fluto Chinzawa said Charlie McAvoy is the Bruins' most important player, and he was out last night. I get why he's saying that. It's not true. Brad Marchand is their most important player.
Yep.
Secondly, I feel like George Peppard right now on the A-team. I love it when a plan comes together. Because the plan, my plan for the Bruins, is a coming together.
Well, I'll tell you what, it really is. Now, yesterday was one of those things where the Bruins just crammed about as much good stuff as you can into one game, and it couldn't come at a better time because getting 2 points from the Flyers is a big deal, especially when they were nipping at your heels for a while. 4-2, they end up winning. First, let's start with this guy, the captain.
High slot, Gostisbehere shoots, Swayman the save, rebound in the slot, blocked out in front. Miller muscles it up the near side, and the Bruins tip it out. Up right wing to Bergeron, over the line, right side, shoots, he scores! Throw him if you got him. That's the hat trick for the captain. Bruins 4, Flyers 2.
Never, ever let him play for another team. I don't care what you got to do.
It's interesting you bring that up because I was thinking that last night after he scored his second one and they put him up 2-0 and, you know, Char just went to Washington. You're like, okay, I can kind of get that. He was the captain for all this time. It would really watching Chara play for Washington is kind of weird, but it doesn't really bother me.
But I saw him play for Ottawa a ton of times when I was in Atlanta.
Now the member of the Bruins, seeing him go somewhere else after playing all those years for the Bruins, it's kind of weird, but it doesn't upset me. If Bergeron ever went to play for somebody else, that would upset me.
They can't.
I thought
that
about Paul Pierce, and then he played for the Nets, and I was like, okay.
I think this is even different. Just the way he is, the way he ranks in the all-time greats for the Bruins. I mean, the 86 Celtics, people make the argument, is the greatest team of all time. Plus, you have the because I just saw the Torrey Champagne documentary. I saw part of it the other day.
Okay.
You know, that had, what, 5 Hall of Famers on that team? Then you had, of course, the Red Auerbach teams that won every single championship because there was 5 teams in the league. But so Paul Pierce, while one of the great Celtics, look at the banners. I mean, there's every number's retired.
And with Pierce, the trade helped over it.
But right? I don't care what they can get in return for Bergeron. I mean, Bergeron, 900 points. He's 4th all time with this team. And Johnny Busick played for 35,000 years on this team. So anytime so it's Bork, Busick,
Esposito. For a while, yeah.
I think Esposito and him, or he might be third.
No,
I don't know.
He's fourth.
Okay, he's fourth. But he has 900 points. Just the way he carries himself, the way he is with this team. Just they can never. He's not gonna. I don't think a team's going to hand him, $5 million again to play once his contract's up.
No, but I think ultimately he's 35 now.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll sign him to whatever it is 1 year beyond what they think his expiration date
is going to be. You gotta keep him.
Just every time I think that should be the case, how many times have we seen that teams trade these guys away?
It does happen. I mean, look, if they wind up in a situation where there is a rebuild in 2 or 3 years, they could do the thing they did with Ray Bourque and say, okay,
they won with him. So they didn't with Ray Bourque. What they have to do with him, and this is a great Bruins team. He's been with. I mean, they've been great. 3 Stanley Cup finals. They've won a championship. They've contended. He came right before they became contenders. He came when we came. He came up right when we were here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just I can make an argument to everything that you say contrarian. I can make an argument against it.
Just teams He's let different. Legends go all I, the time.
Well,
and it stinks.
Yeah,
and,
but
and
the Cardinals kept Molina and Wainwright. They kept Molina and Wainwright.
Patriots let Brady walk.
Yeah,
I mean, if there's anybody that should have ended a career somewhere, it's Brady.
No, the odds are against it. Wayne Gretzky played for 4 teams.
Wayne Gretzky got traded in his prime. So Wayne Gretzky got traded when he was the best player in hockey. This is keeping a guy who's probably going to play for 2 or 3 more years.
Yeah, I'd love it. It'd be great.
I don't see a team, you know, first of all, I don't know what you're going to get. They're not trading Bergeron this year. They're not trading Bergeron next year. So what are you going to get in return for him? They're not going to get, like, this huge, you know, return for Bergeron.
No, the key is what contract did they sign him to when the
and he's worth more to the Bruins than anyone else. So what's a team going to offer him? I mean, Bergeron doesn't do me any good if I'm Arizona. Bergeron doesn't do me any good if I'm Detroit. I mean, he's not going to put asses in seats. So there would never be a reason. He's not going to bring you any. You're not returning him this year or next year. And then after that, he's not going to bring you a return that's worth it.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope they keep him around.
I don't see a way. I don't see a reason or a way that it would make any sense.
Well, on top of that, Brad Marchand has just been a point machine. Not only did he do what he does better than almost anybody else in the league last night with that shorty, but he had 3 assists. That's his second 4-point performance in the last 3 games. He has yet to go back-to-back games without a point this season and is tied for 6th right now in the NHL. 45 points in 34 games, and he just continues and continues on this roll. But the true story last night is what may have been a little glimpse into the future, Fred, and the future is looking bright as hell.
Swings it over to the near side. Right point now, Grizzly pulls it off the wall. He lost it. Now he's in a foot race. Lawton speeds into the slot, shorthanded, backhand, swimming the save.
So this is the guy we've been hearing so much about.
All right,
as well as Vladar has been playing, the guy that everyone seems to think is the heir apparent to Tuukka Rask is 22 years old, and his name is Jeremy Swayman, and we saw him last night. So if you aren't familiar with the guy, Hobie Baker finalist last season, the best player in college hockey, he was the University of Maine, and obviously with Tuukka out and COVID with Halak and Vladar playing the night before, they brought up Swayman, and he was just pelted, and especially that second period where he got 25 shots. He finished with 40 saves and looked calm doing it.
Did you see his demeanor in goal? I mean, laughing. And that's the book on the kid, is he's completely calm.
Yep.
This is the future of goaltending for this team. Swayman is your starting goaltender. Vladar is your backup goaltender. People in other sports, people in hockey, Jesus, Bergeron played when he was 19. Swayman's older than that. Swayman's your starting goaltender next year. And Vladar's your backup.
Your starter next year.
Your starter and goal next year. I've been saying it this entire time. And I don't care if he comes out and has a terrible game, unless it's Subban-like. But I don't care if he comes out and has a terrible game.
He's already upped on. Subban's debut was not nearly this good.
But from the demeanor, he couldn't have been put in a worse situation than he was put in last night. Yeah. He's up against a very good team that they got to beat. He's pelted with 40 shots. He stays. He does what he has to do. According to all the goalie experts, he was doing everything correctly.
Is Tuukka getting Wally pipped? Is that what we're saying?
I think I'm saying Tuukka's not around. He's just not. No, but he's not around. He's always missing. He's not around. For whatever reason, it's all great. I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but he's not around. And Swayman is a kid, and you got to think he's going to be around more than Rask. So why pay a guy who's not around?
The second period last night was the big thing. And real quick, just before we move on, I wanted to ask you about McAvoy. And you're right, McAvoy is not the most important person. Marchand this year is far and away the most important person. But McAvoy second. You saw what life was like without him last night.
Yes.
It was a cluster in their own defensive end for most of the evening.
Their young defensemen are not good.
Oh, they were bad. They were bad for long periods of time.
Yeah, and day-to-day for this Bruins team can mean 2 months. So who knows what's
bad,
going on
bad,
with him.
Bad last night.
The other thing, back to Swayman real quick, the other thing that I thought was pretty cool and reassuring was that, you know, the guys in the team couldn't say enough good things about him, obviously. Patrice Bergeron, for one, afterwards, made sure to make an effort to say something about that guy.
I think it's great to see. You know, it's one of those positions that's, I think it's needless to say, that's very important, probably the most important position in hockey. And we've been fortunate in my time here, I guess, with some amazing goalies. And it seems like the future is bright. So it's always a great sign.
Yeah. I love that. The future is bright. That's a nice little thing to throw out in the universe.
I'm not positive that they would think it was the worst thing in the world if Swayman and Vladar were their goaltenders next year. I'm just going to put that out there.
The other thing, too, is that if you don't already root for the guy, Swayman says stuff like this in his postgame.
That's just, you know, my routine. I'm not too suspicious. You know, I take pride in not being the weird goalie, but, you know, my teammates might say otherwise. You know, it's just my routine. I don't need to be the last guy, but I know I take most of the warm-up to really dial in and make sure that my mind's in the right place before a game.
I like the "I take pride in not being the weird goalie," which is a rarity in this league. So thought that was kind of a cool thing to say last night. It's like, yeah, well, I know.
I think what goaltenders think is weird is different when the rest of us think is weird. I think goaltenders as a rule are strange.
That was it was good to see that, man. That was something that when I saw that Swayman was starting, I was like, whoa. Get ready, because the fact that they've obviously been in a disadvantage with their two goalies, you know, being sick and hurt, is becoming quite the advantage for the Bruins to being able to see whether these guys can handle it, and they've both answered the bell. They've both been really good. So they got another tough one
tomorrow
night.
Patriots-esque offseason next year for the Bruins, because they'll have money, 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 money. Throw it up in the air. They're going to have more money than you could ever imagine. And then it's going to be a team, and you're going to... It's going to be like playing fantasy hockey this offseason. And then and next year, you're going to see all the new pieces. And you're going to go, ooh, me. Maybe they'll actually have a second line. It will really be something else. You'll see.
I don't know if I really want them picking the winger this time. Maybe we get some new blood. Maybe it's like Bill Belichick with the drafting. They haven't done a very good job bringing those guys in over the last several years.
They haven't had the money. They have. I'm not talking about drafting.
Big trades, you know, to try to bring
their
in
trades
scoring.
Have been good. The trades Backus, have been good.
I mean, they well, was he a free agent? Backus, I forget.
Yes, I believe.
Okay,
he
so
was.
You got Backus. Kasha hasn't worked out.
Kasha's hurt, but I said their trades. I haven't said that. They haven't really had
Rick Nash.
Rick Nash didn't work out, but the Coyle trade was very good.
Yager, how'd that
Yager
work out?
Was a good trade. Sweeney's made decent trades. They just haven't gone all in on anything.
I don't think Yager was Sweeney. I think that was what's his name.
Well, regardless, Coyle and who else did they bring with Coyle? Coyle's contract Coyle extension was a mistake.
Coyle was a one for one for Donato, was it not?
No, but and Donato sucks.
And yes, he does.
And there was another guy they brought in that actually played well in that playoff run. But I can't remember who it is. All right, Rich, we have to break. But when we come back, what do you want to talk about?
Let's stick with the winners, shall we? Looks like there was another feel-good game over there at Fenway. Not without some screw-ups, but they ended up covering their ass in the end.
Wow, they've actually won two games. Imagine that. All the freaking out from this station after they've lost, and all the ridicule after losing three games. Mm-hmm. A little ridiculous when you play 162, but this is the way it goes. All right, we'll be right back. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Cutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
This is pretty in pink. I've seen that movie. We showed it to my children.
Psychedelic Furs, is that right?
Yeah.
No, this is... I thought it was a female singer in the song.
No.
Restaurant.
No. Pretty in pink is Psychedelic Furs.
Oh, I thought this was...
Isn't she
restaurant?
Well, if this is not Pretty in Pink, then it might be... I saw. Then it might be Blondie.
No, this is Pretty in Pink.
Okay, this is Pretty in Pink.
You know, I've never seen that. I never liked the John Hughes movies. I didn't like The Breakfast Club. I didn't like, what was it, Some Kind of Wonderful, and I never saw Pretty in Pink.
You never saw 16 Candles?
No, I did see that. I thought that was pretty good. That one was okay.
I like Some Kind of Wonderful.
You didn't like Home Alone?
That was written by John Hughes, and so was, I think, Christmas Vacation. Different director, though, I believe.
Oh, yeah, the Boy Wonder did Home Alone.
Chris Columbus?
John Hughes' protege, Chris Columbus.
Yep. Yeah. No, no, no. I like his writing. I think Christmas Vacation is by far the best of the vacations. Mm. That's the only holiday movie that I have to watch every year.
That's
Christmas
with
Vacation.
Us. We watch it every year.
Yep.
It's the first time my son, I realized my son enjoyed women many years ago when they showed the woman in the bikini at the pool. Mm. Or not in a bikini. She's actually in a one piece.
Mela Kaliki Maka, that part. And yeah. Sing to say.
Yeah, he looked at me and he was like, hey. And I went, all right. The kid likes girls. I'll give it to him. All right, Rich, what else happened last night?
Hey, maybe these Red Sox are sneaky good after all.
That one's driven to right field. Rosarena backing up, backing up. It's over his head! It's over his head! And
error.
The Red Sox are going to win the game! Two-run score! Boston wins! Boy, is that a fitting end to this one.
Wow.
The Red Sox win it. 6-5.
What a ball game this was.
Yep, and something I didn't expect to say this morning, that was an entertaining win from the Red Sox. They were down 3-2 in the 9th, 4-3 in the 11th, and 5-4 in the 12th, and ended up winning with a 6-5 walk-off over what is projected to be a pretty damn good Rays team. Now, according to the Globe, yesterday marked the first time in team history that a Sox opponent blew three save opportunities in the same contest. On top of that, we got to witness what is the best innovation to baseball in years, and that is the runner on second to start extra innings. I love it. Anything to avoid a six-hour game is A-okay in my book. Now, listen, J.D. Martinez, not perfect last night. After all, he did forget how many outs the team had while base running, causing a double play, but I guess he made up for it in the end, so who really cares? Here is Alex Cora afterwards.
We did an amazing job. You know, we had to go to some guys that they're not used to do that, and some guys that, you know, we've been using a lot, but they did a good job. You know, Frenchie saves the game with the defense. It was overall a great game, you know, and I think the most important thing out of this, we won the series against the American League defending champions.
There you go. So you can stink against what should have been the worst team in the league, and you end up doing well against winning the series against one of the better teams.
It's almost like teams have five-man rotations and that they play 162 games. It's crazy how you cannot write off a season after. Listen, they're not going to win the division, but it's ridiculous to hear people bitch about three games. Just stop. It's three games.
It's against the Orioles. I didn't mind people getting pissed off about that. Well, didn't look good. And what makes you look at this team and think that they've got any chance of being anything substantial this
nothing.
Year?
But what's the point of harping on it? I mean, it's uninteresting to me. I mean, if the idea of being on the radio and critiquing every baseball game sounds like there's literally not much more boring things that you could do.
That's fair, but I don't know how it came up. I mean, I was bitching because
I'm not
it
talking
came up.
About this show. I'm talking about just in general.
Oh, okay.
I mean, like, oh my God, these guys.
Well, I mean, we're obviously not going to spend an hour on it and take calls or anything like that.
No, it's stupid.
I think it's fun to crap on a team who goes 0-3 at the first three games against the Orioles. I think that's kind of all right.
I mean, yeah, sure, but I mean, you can go 0-3 and you could be, I mean, if they were World Series contenders, I wouldn't be crapping my pants because they started the season 0-3. Teams go to, forget it. My point is that baseball can't be judged on a day-to-day basis. You can't judge a pitcher on a start-by-start basis. I mean, you have to have large sample sizes for this sport, and I'm sorry it's not good for sports radio, but it's just annoying to me.
Well, the good news is that Cora came out yesterday and said that it sounds like Eduardo Rodriguez is going to get his first time on the mound. Was it Thursday? Tomorrow? Is that right, John?
Hulk pitched out of the bullpen today, yesterday. So okay. It won't be today. I think it'll be tomorrow in Baltimore, yes.
And this was the dead arm situation, right? Like,
yes.
He seems to be pitching fine up until that little burp he had at the end of spring training.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
This has nothing
yes.
to do with his COVID recovery.
No.
He's
correct.
Back, it seems like. All
well,
right, well, that'll be good.
A dead arm is concerning because it could mean a million things. So that's concerning. He could come out and look great, and then he could wear down quickly. Pitching in your arm is a very, very... I suggest you read Jeff Paston's The Arm, but because it is a fascinating thing. Your human body is not built to throw overhand. It's against every piece of our physiology. So whenever there's a problem with a guy who's supposed to go out there and throw 90 pitches a night, it's concerning. And it's always interesting to see how this gets handled. So it's going to be interesting. I wouldn't write a big check to Rodriguez right now in terms of his effectiveness this season, but we shall see.
Yeah, we shall see. The Sox, they go for the sweep today at 1:10, and then it's off to play those pesky Orioles once again starting tomorrow afternoon. Yeah, Who knows how that's going to work out. But, hey, two afternoon games in a row, not bad, not bad.
They should play every afternoon game in April, just like the Tigers do. They
keep the sun out, yeah. Do it while there's even like a hint of heat out there.
Yep.
That's the thing about April is like, if you notice, like around 5 o'clock, it goes from being somewhat pleasant to freezing your nuts off in like a period of 15 minutes. Oh. Just like a switch goes that way.
When you're coaching fourth grade girls soccer at 5:30, tell me about it. Mm. But then, I mean, the pressure of the whole thing gets, the heat comes on. Oh, those girls respected me.
Oh,
they
yeah.
They really knew what I was doing.
Wow.
They could tell I knew what I was doing right away. They were really into it.
You went to the correct field, did you not?
I did not.
Okay.
I went to the wrong field and showed up late.
Right.
Well, let's go to the one team that didn't win last night. If yesterday was a measuring stick game, then the Celtics can't get on the ride at Six Flags.
Tobias Harris against Romeo Langford bumps in, then goes around him, and Robert Williams has fouled out of the game.
Shocker.
He stopped the dunk, which was the right play, but Robert Williams' night will end with 14 minutes of NBA education.
Yeah.
Six fouls. Joel Embiid to sign his report card.
It may look like a 10-point loss, but that
did
was
we
an
have
ass
a conversation
to the nth degree.
About Robert Williams being able to be on the court with Joel Embiid?
Yes. No, we said we wanted to see what he could do against a star like Joel Embiid, and we saw it last night.
I did an exhibition game earlier this season where he got embarrassed by Embiid and then Embiid embarrassed him again during the regular season. But he had shown signs of improvement over the last couple of weeks. So we're like, okay, here's the real measuring stick. Nope.
Yeah.
Yep. Embiid tricked him every chance. I mean, he just like embarrassed him. He knew every trick in the book to get Robert Williams to foul. I mean, it was just it was outclassed.
I feel bad
for
him
at this point,
because,
but man,
Embiid backed him down and scored on him and then would put it, but stepped out and faced up on him on the wing, and Robert Williams is there and he's doing his best, and then Embiid calmly knocked down shots over him.
He's the best. Robert Williams is the best.
Nobody said he was Joel Embiid. We wanted to see him go against. We've seen him play well, very well, over the last season. Actually, this whole season he's played very well.
Since he started, he's played very well. He almost had a triple-double on one night. But the thing you forget is, when you watch Robert Williams play and you think, oh, that guy's big. Then you see him next to Joel Embiid, and you're like, that guy is small.
Yeah. I mean, Joel Embiid's just awesome. But the C's had their predestined and predictable brain fart quarter. Last night it was the second. The Sixers went on a 19-2 run, and that was that. But I thought that one thing yesterday, which was interesting, is there seems to be a little bit of infighting. Not as much team on team, but at least ex-team members on current team members. And maybe this clip was one of the reasons.
Tatum attacks the paint. Ball slapped away. Tatum turns it over, 3-on-1 the other way. Simmons returned it to Tobias Harris, right-hand slam. And Celtics got taken to the woodshed tonight. There is no question about it.
Kendrick Perkins tweeted during the game, Jason Tatum, you got paid the big bucks. You have the body language and energy level of an underpaid player, and it's hurting the team. Time to step up and live up to your role straight up. And then he ends it with, carry on.
Okay, thank you. He didn't score in the first quarter. Take it for what it's worth. It doesn't matter. There's a ESPN list. I know John doesn't get it because he doesn't want to shell out the big bucks to become an insider. But it has the best players under 25 in the NBA, and three of their experts did it. One guy has Tatum at 13, and he has Tatum at 13, and he has Jaylen Brown at 11. And one guy's got Tatum at 3 and Jaylen Brown at 13. And another guy's got Tatum at 4 and Jaylen Brown at 13.
So one thing you could say about the league right now is there's a ton of great players under 25. Like, I mean, the last couple of years have produced these future superstars. And I'm sure Doncic is probably number one on most of those.
Luka and Zion are 1 and 2.
Yes. I mean, there's no question. And Trae Young's on there. I mean, there's so many
great players. Trae Young's very low on this. LaMelo Ball's 3. Donovan Mitchell's 4.
You're already giving him 3? I mean, he's really good this year, but to
I'm already put him at three.
Well, I'll tell you, they have Trey Brown behind Michael Porter Jr., behind Moran.
Trey Young?
Trey Young.
Trey Young, I'm sorry. Trey Young is at 16 because they don't like his defense.
How old's Booker now?
Devin Booker.
Is he over 25 yet?
Devin Booker, I don't
know. No, he's 24.
Yeah, okay.
Where is he on this list then? Yeah, he's eight behind Simmons.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much good talent. And the one thing that's starting to separate the very good from the great is effort. And that's the one thing that we've been saying for a while. And Kendrick Perkins last night saw it with Jason Tatum. He and you heard Danny Ainge on our show, not by name, but I mean, anyone with a brain can figure that he was calling out his biggest star, Jason Tatum. And we see it over and over and over again. He's just doesn't have the effort. He doesn't get back fast enough. He complains about calls a lot. It's not what you want to see from your number one guy. And finally, it seems like Perkins had enough yesterday. On top of that, another weird development with this team is that the health and safety protocols continue to just slay the Celtics. And if you want to put it in perspective, you know, you had Fournier out last night. He's going to be out for a while. Brad Stevens says don't expect him for at least a week. Chris Forsberg put it in perspective by saying that the Celtics were at 131 player days lost through Sunday. That's 20 more than the next closest team and more player days lost than the 10 lowest impacted teams combined. So one of two things is happening. Either A, they're just at a streak of bad luck, or B, there's some fairly irresponsible shenanigans going on, or the protocols are just extremely bad with the team or the garden. I don't know what's happening.
The protocols are league mandated. It's something else.
What do you think?
It's not the garden because it's not. It's not.
The Bruins have had a pretty bad problem too.
I don't know if they're catching it at the garden.
No, I'm not saying it's exactly the garden.
Well,
but
that's what you would be inferring if you say that it's a problem with the garden.
Maybe it is. I mean, come to think of it, maybe it is. Maybe there is something there. But, you know, this is weird.
Try to get free tickets again to something. Rich is saying the garden's irresponsible.
Maybe the way the locker rooms are set up? I don't know. Sure. But I wonder if they're looking into a reason why the Celtics are so much worse than everybody else.
Well, it's their fault, so it's something they're doing wrong because there's no excuse to be going out and getting COVID now. I mean, you know what not to do, so don't do it. I mean, you can live your life and not get COVID. So if they're catching COVID, they're doing something wrong. And you know, maybe their kids are getting it or something, but that's a huge whatever. I don't know. It seems like you could protect yourself if you were a player and overly concerned about it. You could not get it.
I just, that's something that maybe we bring up to Danny tomorrow, is I don't know whether there's any kind of idea as to why this is so lopsided towards the Celtics. I don't like that at all. So it's been weird. And I don't know that obviously with the NHL, you know, you've got crazy stuff going on with like the Canucks, which, I mean, that's insane.
How many players are in protocol for them
like
now?
Like 12, 13?
Yeah. I think it's more.
Yeah, Canada shut the whole place down and they can't stop it for anything. They went socialist on the people. They communist Canada over there, and then they can't control that thing worth anything.
That's 12, 13, I think, just players, but I believe coaches and staff.
Yeah, it's like 20.
Is even worse. Yeah, it's up to upwards of 20.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Canada's really got a hold on things. They could have made things a lot easier on a lot of people, and it's probably had better results. All right, when we come back, there was massive controversy yesterday. Something a lot of people deemed unforgivable took place, and we will discuss that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.